This week on Country Fried Rock, we're talking with Cale Tyson. With a couple of very traditional country EPs under his belt, he's got an exciting year in store. After signing with Clubhouse Records for UK distribution, our Euro friends can look for a special double EP album release sometime in the next year. While here in the States, Cale is getting ready to head to the noted Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, to record a country soul record. He's already released a couple of teaser videos, and we're looking forward to talking with Cale Tyson today on Country Fried Rock. We really appreciate your support for Country Fried Rock. Every so often, we offer a limited edition t-shirt, only on sale for 3 weeks, and when they're gone forever. Our brand new design is a spark plug with a very small Country Fried Rock logo, on sale now for 3 weeks only at teespring.com/countryfriedrock4. It's the limited edition t-shirt number 4, designed by Skillet Gilmore, noted musician and designer with Crawl Space Press. They're super soft, women's, kids, V-neck, hoodie, long sleeve, and they're all on sale right now for 3 weeks only. teespring.com/countryfriedrock4. Get yours before it's gone forever. My guest today on Country Fried Rock is Cale Tyson with a brand new, well, not so much brand new. It's my fault. I dropped the ball and didn't return the email. But it's a fantastic record, Cheater's Wine. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. So I've been listening to your music, I guess, since High on Lonesome was when I first became familiar with you. What took you to Nashville?
Basically, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, for the most part. And then I went to college for a year in I wanted to go down to Austin to go to school down there. I didn't get accepted. And then ended up going to SMU in Dallas. Started getting into the music scene there. And I had a friend who had moved to Nashville. And, you know, I was telling him kind of the things with the music scene there versus what I wanted to do. And wasn't really happy with everything that was going on. And he was like, man, you should come out here. Come out to Nashville. There's Belmont University here. You can go there and finish your degree and everything and, you know, take music more seriously. So, yeah, I ended up transferring to Belmont and finished my degree here.
Oh.
And the funny thing about that was the guy who had convinced me to come out here, he moved back to Fort Worth like a month before I moved out here. So I moved out here and knew nobody.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So Belmont is pretty intense.
Yeah, it was, I got a music business degree, and I quickly realized that, you know, it took me maybe a year of going to school and doing internships that I was like, you know, I don't really want to be in the music business on the business side, per se. I couldn't do both the creative and the business aspects of it. But the cool thing about it was the school taught me so much about things I needed to be doing as an artist that I would have never found out that early on, as far as PROs, as far as, you know, publishing and all sorts of stuff. And another cool thing about it was just I met a lot of the people that I still play with today and made a lot of great friends there. And yeah, it was a good school. It was a good experience for me. Yeah, I mean, and I had never experienced that level of competition either. I mean, well, just Nashville in general. But, you know, the kind of thing with Belmont that I managed to get away from. Everyone talks about the Belmont bubble.
Mm.
While you're going to school there, you can get so involved with the music scene just at Belmont to forget about, you know, the whole community in Nashville as in the whole city. So when I moved to Nashville, I lived off campus originally, and I mean, the whole time I had a house here. And so I think that was really good for me to actually be able to never fall into that bubble. And it was always there, but it was friends with people that, you know, didn't necessarily go to school. And so it's good.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. We've had an incredible year with more people finding us on the radio and our podcast than we ever imagined. Thank you all so much. Careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
Hey, this is Cale Tyson, and you're listening to Country Fried Rock.
When you were out of school and you started doing your own thing, you talk about, you know, you meet people and they're your friends, and that's who you call in to help you when you're wanting to record. How did that develop for you?
So basically, the first kind of group of people I was playing with were a couple of them were kids from Belmont that I went to school with, some of my first friends in town. And then at that time, I was doing more kind of a folky, indie rock kind of thing. Not so much country, but it was all leading that way. I had a show at my house one time, and this band came from Boston. They all went to Berkeley. A lot of them did. And this guy came down and was playing pedal steel with them. And I had never played with a pedal steel player before, but I was fascinated by it. And he told me, you know, I'm thinking about moving to Nashville in like, you know, a couple months. I'll reach out to you once I get there and we should play together. I was like, yeah, man, that would be amazing. So, I mean, this is way back. This is probably 4 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And I had a Craigslist ad out at the time that was just sitting out on Craigslist and said, you know, looking for a pedal steel player. And he reached out to me. And I was like, Brett, like, you know, it's me, Kale. We met, you know, come play pedal steel with me. So yeah, he's been playing with me ever since. And then the rest of the guys just been, you know, part of the scene that I've just come to know. And you know, I play with a lot of different players too for certain gigs. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a totally set band. Anyway, so it's a great little mix. That's another really cool thing about living here is you get the opportunity to play with some of the just insanely good players I never would have even imagined I could play with. Like, I've been doing this downtown gig 2 or 3 times a month, this place called The Acme. And I had a guy filling in for Brett on pedal steel named Pete Fay. He's played with all sorts of people. I needed a bass player for a gig. So I reached out to Pete and I was like, Pete, you know, do you have any bass players in mind that we could use for this gig? And he's like, yeah, give this guy Brad a call. It's going to be Brad Albin. And I call him and he's like, yeah, I can play. I was like, yeah, just making sure, you know, that you know, like the whole classic country thing that we kind of, you know, we do a lot of covers from the 50s through the 70s and just making sure you'd be okay with that. He's like, yeah, I think I should be okay with that. I play with the Time Jumpers every Monday night. It's like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, my foot tastes really good right here.
Yeah. So it's just been killer to be able to just be on a stage with those same people.
So you did the initial EP release, and then what changed for you from when High on Lonesome came out to what ultimately led to Cheater's Wine?
I did High on Lonesome it was my first really traditional country record where I was like, you know, I want to go all for country for this and just make this sound as much like a, you know, traditional Ray Price record kind of as possible. You know, I had Kenny Vaughn in the studio and I had a bunch of great players on it. And it was kind of one of those records where we go into the studio and we were there for 6 hours and we basically tracked the entire thing.
Wow.
And so, you know, each song we get 2 passes and then everyone would be like, all right, you cool with that? You cool? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the next song, which is great, but it's so intimidating.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that was a good pass. I hope so. And so then there's a lot of waltzes on there. It's a pretty slow, sad record. And so, you know, I started playing those songs out and I love slow songs, but playing those out, it didn't really, you know, it kind of dragged at some point. And so I started writing a little more up-tempo kind of stuff and then kind of got a little bit later of a sound. Like I was listening to a lot of Gary Stewart mm-hmm. and Mel Street and stuff like that, kind of late 60s, early 70s country. And so when we did Cheater's Wine, went in to cut those songs and I decided for this one, I was like, you know, I made a deal with one of my friends at a studio at the time, and I was like, let's do each song almost one by one. So we would go into the studio, and we would just focus on one song at a time, pretty much, and just work on that song all day and make up the coolest arrangements we could. The cool thing about that was Robert Ellis was living in Nashville at the time, and we'd been playing together a little bit. So he came in, and he played all the guitar on the record, which was really cool.
And so what studio were you able to do that with?
It was called Schematic Studio. Mm-hmm. It does not exist anymore. It was a really interesting place. My friend was almost subletting this studio, and it was over in Green Hill, which is, there's like not really any studio. It's not known for having studios. Yeah. It was almost like a duplex kind of place, but it was cool because, you know, we had the freedom to just hang out there. No one else was really coming in. It took us a couple months. We just took a pretty relaxed approach at it. It was nice. It's a good way to do it.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. Those of y'all who listen on our podcasts, it's a quick hit of Just the Conversation. If you want the full radio program with all the songs that we talk about, ask for it on your local radio station, joining 20 other stations across the country. Get the goods at countryfriedrock.org.
Hey, this is Kale Tyson, and you can check out some of my music, upcoming shows, videos, and all that good stuff at www.kaletyson.net.
Pretty nice to have Robert Ellis come on in and play some guitar. Did you end up calling in any other friends for other parts?
I actually use a lot of the band that I was playing with, and I still do play with often at the time, a band called Johnny Appleseed. So it was Andrew Squire played drums on it. He's in Johnny Appleseed. And Brett, of course, played steel, Brett Resnick. And then Mark Sloan also did some guitar stuff on there. And a guy named Casey Driscoll played fiddle on there. It was a lot of those guys. The same guy that played bass on my first record on High on Lonesome played on this one, Mike Rennie. He's always kind of been around. He's great. He's played with Rodney Crowell and all sorts of people.
As you were able to, I guess take your time would be the right way to say it, but to get the songs the way you wanted without quite the same time pressure as the previous release, what happened with the record after?
I'm a perfectionist. And so taking my time was both a good thing and it was kind of a bad thing because I would be like, I don't know if the song's finished. I don't know if we did this well. And I don't know. Maybe we should go back in and recut this. Maybe we should do another vocal cut on this one. I don't know. So, I mean, I liked doing it, but at the same time, it was very frustrating for me and my head, just me and my head, second guess everything. But, you know, the response, it was really cool after the record because for High on Lonesome, I did have a publicist helping out because that was kind of my debut, you know, release. And so I had a publicist for that and she helped out a lot with getting some cool stuff for me. And then this one, I put it out and, you know, I reached out to, I didn't use a publicist for it. And I just reached out to everyone that I kind of knew. And it was awesome. I mean, got on Rolling Stone, Country's American Songwriter, again, all sorts of really great stuff happened. I was very happy with it. And I looked at it as a growing thing. It's not just the same album release again. I looked at it as stepping up.
How did Clubhouse Records come on board? What is that relationship?
I guess it's probably been 6 months or so now. They had emailed me and said, you know, we'd love to talk to you about maybe doing a release over in the UK on this record label. It's a pretty small record label. And at the time, I'd never heard of them or anything. And so I didn't really take it that seriously. And then I think they emailed me again or something. And a friend of mine, Emma Swift, I reached out to her about them and asked her if she knew them. She did. And she was like, yeah, they're great. You know, told me all these great things. I was like, that is so awesome to hear, you know, because that's a region that honestly, I don't know anyone out there. So other than Emma. So it was really great to hear that. And then, you know, I kept talking to them and we made a deal that would work out and they would re-release High on Lonesome. And they actually haven't released Cheater's Wine over there yet, but they're going to release that. And they're doing, I'm going over there in April. I'll be over there for about a whole month. And for that, they're making kind of a full length, which is both High on Lonesome and Cheater's Wine in one CD.
Cool.
And yeah, it'll be kind of a exclusive UK album called Introducing Cale Tyson. Should be really cool. I'm really excited for that. I've stayed in Nashville for the most part for the last few years, done some runs. I went to Illinois a couple months ago. And then, you know, I always do South by and go down to Texas whenever I can to see all my hometown buddies and play down there. You know, I've been staying in Nashville for the most part, you know, building my chops here and working on everything this year. So I just signed to I joined with a booking agency from Knoxville, Tennessee called Prater Day. They recently did Margo and the Price Tag,
yes, who's
a good friend of mine. This year should be crazy. We're already gearing up for it. So we're doing South by again. And then late March, I'm doing a Midwest run. And then in April, I go to Switzerland for 10 days and then straight from Switzerland to the UK for the 3 week or so tour.
Nice.
Then I come back and then in June we're doing a whole Southwest thing, which should take about a month, going all the way to California. So it's going to be a totally different year. So it should be good.
To bring listeners up to speed, Margo and the Price Tags, we talked with her years ago when she was in a band called Buffalo Clover. At the time she said, I'm going to be doing a country record. It's going to be called Margo and the Price Tags. And people were like, no way. How could she move from psychedelic rock to that? And then they were like, whoa. And it's awesome. So yeah, cool stuff. So will you be doing that run solo?
No, I'll be doing it with a band. It might be a little more stripped down, like a 3-4-piece band. Should be a lot of fun. We're actually, the South by stuff this year is going to be really cool. We're doing a thing with a clothing company called Bandit Brand. Yeah, they have a thing out in California. They're doing a big party outside of Austin at this ghost town.
Cool.
So, yeah, and that'll be like JP Harris is on there and Caleb Cottle. I know you have Caleb Cottle on the show.
We love Caleb, yes.
Yeah, it'll be on there. And Whitey Morgan. It should be a lot of fun.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, and then we got a bunch of, I'm actually going to be playing with another guy that I play with a lot in town. He's a good buddy of mine, Luke Bell. I'll be playing in his band at some of the shows down there. And he actually got asked to play the Heartbreaker Banquet out at Willie's Ranch.
Whoa.
So that'll be really cool, too. I can't wait to get down there. He's a great guy. He's actually, I just talked to him earlier today. He's been out in Wyoming for the past month. He's coming back to Nashville. Sweet. On his way back now.
I'm your host, Sloane Spencer. You can keep in touch with us on Facebook, but I really like Twitter, where we are at Country Fried Rock, ending with R-O-K. And if you want to see pictures of my shoes, my dog, and my lunch, stop by Instagram. But whatever way you like to hang out, stop by and say hey.
You can find my record at the website, caletyson.net, or you can buy it on iTunes, or it's available on Spotify or Bandcamp. anywhere you'd like.
Mentally, are you kind of like gearing yourself up for what's obviously going to be a big step forward?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been working a day job here since I graduated from college. So I'm getting ready to either quit that or see if we can do a kind of remote thing. Just getting rid of the safety net, pretty much, going full force. I'm really excited for this year. I'm going to be going down to Muscle Shoals in March to record at Fame Studios to do the first full length. I guess this is the first time I've talked about it. Yeah, so I'm working with Mike Rinney as a producer. He's the guy I told you about played bass on the last two records. He did Kelsey Walden's record. He did one of my friend Aaron Ray's records. We have a group of guys, really, really great group of guys, and we're going to go down to Fame Studios, and we're doing my first full length. And it's going to be kind of different from the ones before. It's going to be a country soul record. So we're going to have horns and strings and just big arrangements. I've been writing kind of more geared towards that, listening to a lot of that kind of stuff. So I can't wait. I'm so, so excited for that. It should be great. I think I'm going to do a little Kickstarter here pretty soon and try to promote that and make a little money for it. And we'll go down there and cut it. We're going to try to cut all the basic tracking in about 3 days right before I go to South By, and then come back in April and do all the horns and all the other arrangements and try to get it all geared up to go out later in the year.
You're working on those songs now. Do you do that by yourself? Do you play out? How do you develop those songs?
As far as writing goes, you know, I've been writing, I guess the songs I wrote for Cheater's Wine, I wrote almost a year ago, or maybe even more than a year ago now. So I have a huge library of songs I've written since then. And then a lot of those songs that I wrote since then that we play out a lot are more kind of straight country. And I've just been reworking them by myself to give it a little soul kind of arrangement so that we can work with those and, you know, just spice them up. Then lately, you know, I've been trying to write as much as possible since I've had a little bit of downtime lately just to get some cool stuff going. I'm playing a bunch of shows in town to finally start playing those songs out and working up with the band. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's really exciting to hear that that's going to happen so quickly.
Yeah. It strikes while the iron's hot. And I'm going to be on the road so much this year that I was like, God, if I'm going to record this thing, I need to do it soon before I'm out there for so long.
Well, then let me hit you up to make sure you record a Couch by Couch West video.
Yes, absolutely. We've talked about it. Yeah.
You can do that soon. You can submit it whenever.
Yeah, we'll make a cool one. I'm excited.
Longtime listeners know that Couch by Couch West is the online festival for those of us who can't actually be there. And it's super fun. And I'm a fan. I'm not one of the founders, but it's a really cool thing. Tell me a little bit about the album artwork.
The last two album artworks I've done for High on Lonesome and Cheater's Wine, they're both along the same lines, you know, with the picture, and they actually have the same script for my name. Both of those were done by Rachel Briggs, the design elements. She shot the picture for High on Lonesome, and she did all the design for that. But for Cheater's Wine, I had a girl named Danielle Hobart, who lives in Nashville. She shot the picture. Yeah, I love, Rachel's great. I met her, I was an intern over at American Songwriter magazine. And I actually met her over there. She was the designer for the magazine for a couple of years. You know, she does all sorts of stuff. I think she did the new Steelism art. She's done a lot of great stuff. And so she's always been a blast to work with. And she always comes up with some really cool stuff that's modern, but it still has that kind of retro vibe. So it was really great having her help out on there. There's another thing with Cheater's Wine. Everyone keeps bringing up that Emmylou record, Elite Hotel. And because they do look very similar with the wallpaper, but we had no idea. I told her, I sent her like a list of records, and that happened to be one of them. It has differences, but I will admit that it does look similar to it. Consider it an homage to Emmylou.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So play her Save the Puppy Dogs benefits.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've been to a few of her little fundraisers around town. They're amazing.
They're incredible.
Last one I went to, I saw her and Bobby Bear and Buddy Miller and I think Rodney Crowell sang with her. Just a free show in Nashville. Just
hanging out.
Just a little thing I went to during the day. Mm-hmm. Which is insane.
Nashville is crazy like that. It really is.
It's nuts. I mean, like, even this last week, you know, I didn't have anything planned for the week for nights. And I think it was Wednesday night when Jack White played at Bridgestone Arena. And Someone was like, hey, I have two tickets. Do you want to go see that? And so Wednesday night, I went and saw Loretta Lynn and Jack White, which is crazy. And then Thursday, I heard that Doug Seegers, who is one of my favorites right now, was playing at City Winery, which is a great new venue, real close to where I live. And I got to go see him. He's just incredible. Great story, too. He was homeless for a long time in Nashville. He would play outside this Goodwill on Charlotte Avenue. This TV show came in town from Sweden, mm-hmm. and they heard him busking, and they were blown away by it. They played the TV show. I'm not sure exactly on the facts of this, but they played the TV show with him singing the song in Sweden, and it blew up to the point where they had the demand for him to record this record, and he did, and it got to be like number one on the iTunes charts in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And his voice is just heartbreaking, and his songwriting is incredible. Definitely give that one a listen.
Thank you. The crazy thing about that is when I talked with Margot a few years ago, that show has gotten like thousands and thousands and thousands of hits. And it's because the segment we talked about was about homeless songwriters in Nashville.
Yeah.
And just, you know, walking down the street, some random dude busking. And just that whole thing of some of these people are brilliant individuals.
Yeah. And this is just, it's such a cool story because, and also even seeing him live, he's so humbled, you know, and you can just tell that this is all so new for him, mm-hmm. but like, you know, nothing's getting to his head at all. It's really, really cool.
Safe travels to you on what is going to be one stellar year, Cale Tyson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Countryfriedrock.org. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Our 2015 bed music is from Drivin' and Cryin's debut album, Scarred But Smarter. Got a great band you want to hear on Country Fried Rock? The best thing to do is tweet us at Country Fried Rock. That's Country Fried, R-O-K.
You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. Just search Country Fried Rock. Country Fried Rock radio programs are distributed to public radio through the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts.
Ever he been helping us from Country Fried Rock.
Hey, y'all, it's Sloan Spencer. Thanks so much for finding all these new old episodes of Country Fried Rock. I've got something completely different available these days called Sleep with Rock Stars. And it all started from a listener comment back in the very early days of Country Fried Rock who said, you know, I slow these down to 75% and fall asleep to them. And I was like, well, over the years, I started thinking about it. And I recently started Sleep with Rock Stars. The Gen X Sleep Podcast, and you can find it at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.